Welcome back to the second episode at our new home in the Rogers TV studio. This is the Dog Classroom, and I'm Amelia.
I'm Anne Marie.
And today we have a fun topic, I think. Well, we think it's fun.
We think it's fun as far as is working it, but I think a lot of owners are frustrated.
It is a frustrating behavior, yeah, for sure. We are going to talk about dogs jumping on people.
Yeah.
And so I think the first thing we need to talk about before we get into how to deal with it and all that is, why does it happen?
Right. And I would say whether large breed, small breed, ages.
Yeah.
It's about being consistent. All jump, right?
Yes.
So I've believed over the years in education and training is that a lot of the times the dogs just want to be here.
Near your face.
Yeah. Near your face. Because again, when we just talked a little bit in the last episode about different behaviors we don't like our dog to do, and we were talking about sniffing bums and stuff, I think sometimes they feel the only way to properly greet us or greet us is to be in our face.
Yeah, because they want to get all those smells that sort of we maybe right. want to see what we've eaten for lunch, whatever.
Right.
But they, yeah, I think they want to be closer to your face, which is
right.
one main issue. The other issue is I think a lot of dogs don't know how to greet any other way.
Right. Okay.
And so
would you say, I'm going to interrupt you mm-hmm. for a sec, would you say it's an innate behavior? Would you say naturally they want to come up to our face?
Ah, that's a tough one. I feel like, yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you think of like a puppy, for example, puppies will even jump up. Like it's not that they've learned that necessarily.
Right.
So maybe it's just something that comes naturally to them, like you said,
or
behavior.
Comes naturally or attention seeking.
Or that, yeah. So that
right.
would be something that they've learned, right?
Yeah.
Is I get attention by,
right.
you know, physically touching this person, putting my paws on this person, getting closer to their face. So I think once we sort of realize that the dog is doing it for those reasons, right? Because they want to have access to us and not necessarily any bad reasons. I know they used to have TV shows that would say, if the dog jumps on you, they're being dominant and that sort of thing, which is a whole other episode, but I would say that's not the case.
No, I don't think
so. For most situations. And it's just that they want to be closer to you. They want to greet you.
Yeah.
It's rarely sort of an aggressive thing. So with that said, what could we do?
Right. And then the other thing is it can also be a safety concern because,
yes.
you know, small dogs, yeah, whatever, they're jumping on your leg. And I find when we teach classes and we talk to owners, some small dog owners are like, yeah, no big deal. It doesn't bother them. But mm-hmm. again, they're not 100 pounds
yeah.
jumping on you because, yeah, we've been knocked over, we've been bruised, scratched. And the tricky thing is if and when owners, that's happening to them or it's happening to strangers as well. So it becomes a safety issue. So I think, honestly, over the years of us teaching and working with multiple dogs, we've come up with some really good training scenarios to help the issues.
And I think we'll talk about, maybe we'll go with, like, in the house first.
Okay.
And then we'll go to, like, the jumping on strangers and stuff. Because
okay.
especially when you say, like, with the small dogs,
right.
the owner maybe goes, oh, I don't care.
Right.
But when we get into greeting other people, strangers that are not in your home, we maybe do need to have some kind of a plan for that.
Right. And the thing I tell people is the dog doesn't know, okay, I know this person, I don't know this person, this is how I have to act.
Yeah.
So it's really important to be a consistent across the board.
Yeah, I agree. So when we think about greeting in the house, for
okay.
example, so I come to your house, let's pretend you had one dog for now.
Okay. All right.
In some fantasy world, you have one dog.
Yeah.
I come to your house, you have one dog. We're going to come up with a plan.
Okay.
And that's going to be your plan for when you answer the door.
So, and again, I've been using this word more
mm-hmm.
and really getting owners to work with me. Instead of giving them the plan, they're working with me.
Exactly.
Right? And the thing is, training in the moment doesn't work.
No, you can't. Ooh, I have a quote. Can I
okay,
say a quote?
Yes, let's go.
Okay, I read this online somewhere. I'm sorry,
okay.
I don't know who said it.
Okay.
You have to train for the situation.
Not.
You can't train in the situation.
I like that.
I love it because it's
yeah.
so, like, you just can't. You can't teach greeting when your dog is already jumping on that person.
Yeah. And but the thing is, you're more emotional. You're frustrated.
They're frustrated.
They're frustrated.
The dog's amped up.
The dog's amped up. The person coming in, and then, so I would say the majority of stressful situations in our houses are at the front door.
Yeah, and so why not? Like, if we're just sort of doing a little scenario today, why not make that plan and then go, okay, this is my plan. Everybody in the household is on board with it because they all have to do it.
That's a good point. Everybody and in the household.
If for some reason we can't follow the plan, the dog has to be removed. The dog is not answering the door with me.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not just, oh, I'm going to, you know, keep the dog in the backyard whenever we have company over, because that's not what we want to do. We want the dog to be able to see the people.
Right.
But we need to come up with a plan to do it appropriately.
Right. So again, what Amelia's saying is, if it's the pure later man at the door, doesn't want to be standing there while you're training.
Yeah.
Just remove the dog. Kennel outside, bedroom. Gates are wonderful.
Gates are great.
Gates are wonderful. But then let's start a plan for, say, friends or family.
Okay.
So,
I'm coming over to your house. You know I'm fairly dog savvy. You know that, you know, I might read the sign on your door that says dog in training. Please give me a minute.
I'm glad that you said that. That's awesome.
Yes. Yeah. I love when people do that because, I mean, for the pure litter man, yes, no, leave him alone. He doesn't want to train your dog. But if you know that someone's coming over, I would have that conversation first. So I would say, before somebody comes over, let's talk to them and say, hey, I'm training the dog.
Yeah. And I say, in the whole world of cell phones, they can text.
They can text,
when they arrive from the driveway, so you're ready to roll and you're not surprised.
Because you're not going to be doing doorbell desensitization or knocking desensitization when there's somebody at your door.
Yeah.
That's, again, training in the situation, which is just the dog is amped up. So one of the things I always recommend is the dog's going to be on leash.
Yes.
And so let's say that's part of our plan. We're going to pretend that you have Maui.
Okay, so I'm going to interrupt for 1 second. Why is the dog on leash?
Well, because if the dog is allowed to answer the door,
and has learned to do that, because you're telling us you already have a jumping issue.
Exactly.
So they've been able to run at the door.
They've practiced the behavior.
Yep.
What we need to do is management, which management just means putting something in place before they can practice that bad behavior again.
Right.
Because if they continue to practice it, it continues to get stronger, just like our training.
So, and if you remember, we said just right at the beginning is it's an innate natural behaviors for dogs to jump. So the way we approach it is, instead of trying to train out the behavior, we train a complementary behavior.
A replacement behavior.
A replacement behavior. So that's what Amelia is saying as far as the leash. Okay.
Okay, so when we think about replacement behavior, we have to think about something that serves the same function, right? So the dog still wants to do the thing, whatever the thing is. In this case, it's greeting. So how can we replace a behavior where the dog still gets to access the person? So for example, go to mat, not going to work.
Because they don't access
the person. Is it management? Sure. They can go to mat and not greet that person, whatever. But if you want to replace the behavior, you have to replace it with something that serves that same function. So my favorite go-to, hand target.
Yeah.
And there's a few reasons I like hand target.
Yeah.
So one of them is that people naturally like to just put their hands out when they see dogs. In my opinion, it is a little bit confrontational.
Put the hands out, but a lot of people go up.
Or up, yeah.
And then actually I would say definitely encourages the dog to jump more when they go up and start making noises. So ask them to go
put the hand down nice and low.
Yeah.
I will say, like, if it's a small dog, especially, like, below your knee almost. Like, you want it to be really low so the dog doesn't have to jump up to access it.
Yeah.
With bigger dogs, you know, I'd stand there just with my palm at my side. And you teach the dog, again, outside of the situation. So you practice this at home by yourself. You teach the dog to do the hand target, which I'm sure we've talked about in an episode somewhere. So I'll go into details. But you teach the dog to touch their nose to your hand, which is what I mean when I say hand target.
Yep.
And then we put that into our greeting behavior. So getting the dog from their, you know, excited state on the leash toward that person to do the replacement behavior. That's where we fail.
Yeah. Because again, even though the dog's on leash, the dog is then dragging the owner towards the person. And if we haven't prepped or trained that hand target enough with people, mm-hmm. where I encourage, you know, you can be doing 25, 30 of those a day, yeah. in your house, with different people, then yeah, you're going to fail. So the thing is, we're taking multiple behaviors and trying to put them in a sequence.
Yes. So that's why it's a plan. It's yeah. not just, you know, teach your dog to sit instead of jump on people, which we used to do. That was us.
Yeah,
10
but then
ago.
The tricky thing is the person would tell the dog to sit, the dog sits and then jumps on the human.
Yes.
Because a stay wasn't trained
right. and the dog wasn't still getting that function of greeting the person.
Yeah, because a lot of people, want to teach them to do that. Yeah, the dog sits for 2 seconds and then is jumping on the human, and then the owners look at us and we're like,
So I think it's really important that before they even get to the greeting piece, before they even get to do that hand target with the person.
I'm waiting for it.
The dog is calm. The dog is walking with you.
Yes.
Toward the person.
To the owner. So, U-turns.
U-turns. One, two, threes. Like, whatever. We talk about these in classes. We talk about these on other podcasts. Like, getting your dog to focus and be with you and not just stare at that person.
So, guess what? We can train moving towards and answering the door with no human there.
We can.
So, and we already know that dogs learn better in pattern behaviors. Mm-hmm. So, if they learn that we heel towards the door and this is a fun thing, and then eventually the human shows up. The other thing is I'm huge for is get family members to practice.
Yeah. And I think with family members, it's good because, like, even though I've been in the house all day, if I step outside for 5 seconds, like, they're still excited when I come to
the
door.
Exactly. Go outside, ring the doorbell, come back in.
So you can get lots of repetitions in to solidify that pattern. Because if they're only doing it once every 3 weeks when your friend comes over, they're not really getting the training.
No.
The other thing is, again, with the focus for the owner, is once they do the hand target, what should they do? So I train it, touch the person's hand, come back to me.
For the treat.
And you can have a treat or I can release you to go back to the person.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not that touching the hand is then an invitation to stay there and jump all over the person.
And that's the main problem.
Is that we stand there.
The dog, we allow the dog, I don't say allow, but the dog ends up standing there and hovering. Mm-hmm. They can't help themselves and they go up.
Yeah.
So the idea is go in, do the hand target, come out, breathe. Mm-hmm. Go in, do the hand target, come out, breathe, and multiple times, and then eventually get everybody in, move away from the door.
Yes, stop hovering in that
one
little space.
Yeah, the dog is decompressed, person comes in.
And they're over it. Like, they're excited to see you.
And then
they're
over it, yeah.
And when I do this in classes, I will usually do, I'll say, I'll just stand here until the dog's done with it. So for shy dogs, that might be zero hand targets. That might be, like, this is not necessarily a greeting protocol for a
shy
dog.
Which is acceptable.
Yes, and I just say, okay, and I back off, and we do zero hand targets.
Yep.
If I have an excited dog who really wants to come and see me, so if we're doing this as your plan, and you're one dog, and you have Maui, and he comes toward me, I know he wants to see me. So I will put my hand out, you will send him forward, say, go say hi, whatever, go touch, and he will go back to you.
Yeah.
And then you will tell him, okay, either there's a treat and we're going to go lay down or go back, say hello. Once he's done it 3 or 4 times, again, that's what I found in class, they're like, okay, that's enough hand target. Like,
they're over it.
Yeah. They've smelled you. They've gotten the information they needed to get. Maybe they've gotten a couple pets if they've been, you know, able to hover for a couple seconds and that's what they wanted. So,
but the idea is the approach.
The approach is important. The focus is important.
Is focus. And then hovering or being in that person's presence, that you're not prolonging it where the dog may fail. It's always setting the dog up for success.
Exactly. Which we want to do with all of our training plans. But especially when somebody's coming into your house, because the more that they do that in that environment, we know dogs are very contextual.
Yeah.
They love things in a specific context. So if they learn at the front door, I'm walking beside my person, and eventually this can be off leash, but walking beside
my person.
Yeah,
exactly. You start with the leash because people say, well, I have to do this forever.
Yes. So you start with the leash. Yes. You train the behaviors outside of the situation. You practice them in the situation when you have all the behaviors, and then you can go back to maybe being off leash, maybe not having treats on you. And that's where I say the reward could be going back to see the person. Which is something we are going to talk about a little bit later. But so having that plan, okay, this is what my plan looks like. This is what works for me and my dog and my home and my setup.
Yeah.
right? And then everybody's is going to be different. But we really encourage you to make that plan.
It's to figure out what works best for you and your dog.
And your dog, which is important, where you said, you know, the shy dogs, that's okay if it's zero hand targets. Usually when we see the jumping from the shy dogs, it's anxiety related.
Yeah. And sometimes it's the jumping on the owner because they're like, let me out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different. This is more for just the, I'm so excited to see you, I'm going to jump all over you kind of dog. But with all of that said, now let's talk about somebody who's not going to stand there and put their hand like this for you. Strangers on a walk.
Right. Then as you're approaching, you're working through it and have a nice day and you continue on.
Yes. So that's the other thing that I think is so important is your dog doesn't have to greet people. And I think going back to embarrassing behavior episode, people tell me they're embarrassed that their dog is being rude, that their dog whatever, because the person says, oh, hi, puppy, and then they go away. To me, that's information. If you keep pushing that, that's going to be a bite. That's going to be a dog who has a bad experience with a person.
Right.
So for me, not greeting is fantastic. I don't even remember the last time I said hello to a stranger.
Yeah.
although I'm not the most social
example.
I think
sometimes it can be breed specific because I'm just thinking of golden retrievers. Everybody feels that they should be happy-go-lucky and same with labs and be able to greet or whatever. And I think it's important because in our society, you know, there are people out there that don't enjoy dogs or the interaction. Because again, it's about teaching. It's about educating the dog too. And it's like, okay, we talk about this in service dogs as well, in that if you create the plan and your dog doesn't always assume that they're going to greet every single person. Mm-hmm. So the time that you say go see, they're like, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Right? That's why I put it on cue, like the hand target. Just because someone puts their hand out does not mean I want my dog to go see them. So it's the hand. I mean, I don't usually do it out. I do it beside, which is hard to demo with a table. But I put the hand beside me so that the dog comes to me. I don't go into the dog's space.
Yeah.
Because that's sort of taking that choice away from them.
Yes.
And then also, it allows people to come closer to you when you're going, okay, we're not doing this.
Right.
Right? So I think...
So you're asking the dog. You're not making the dog.
Yes.
You're not assuming they're going to be fine because there are times, even with Bee and Tulip, where I'll tell people to put their hand down and say, go sniff, and they look at me and they're like, no, thank you. And I'm like, have a nice day, and off we go.
Yeah. And so that's why I like the word cue instead of command.
Yeah.
Because cue
you're asking.
Yeah, it's a cue like you would for telling, like us on a cue card being like, hey, it's time to talk.
Yeah.
Nobody's making us do it.
No.
Anyway, tangent. But greeting people when you're out and about, just to say is not greeting is an option.
Yes.
Throwing that out there. A great option. And even if you have that friendly lab who wants to see everybody, it's good to practice sometimes just like, let's go. And no, we're not saying hi to that person.
Because I think it's something that we just assume the dog will know or do. And I just don't think, honestly, enough people spend time. Like, people are willing to spend time training sits and downs. But for some reason, I don't want to say that the thought process isn't there. But I think the expectations are that the dog just knows how to do it or they'll just listen in that situation.
Or that they're just bad and they will never do it in that situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is another thing.
But I think what we're trying to say with the jumping is we're trying to get now people to create a plan for dealing with it inside. And the idea is we're affecting or working through every aspect of how it affects the dog's life because you want to be consistent. So if you practice jumping or sort of dealing with the jumping at the door and then you take that on the road.
Yes.
So you take it outside as well and you're teaching the same sequence of behaviors.
In a different context.
In a different context as far as distraction, then the dog's like, oh, right, you've done this before.
It's kind of like your example of sit. Like when we teach puppy school and we say, okay, yes, they can sit in this room. Can they sit at home in the kitchen? Great. Can they sit in the living room? Great. Can they sit outside? Like they are so context driven that it's important that we go, okay, let's take this out of that specific bubble and still do the exact same thing. So generalizing, they would call it.
Yeah.
You want to generalize to, you know, whether the person that comes to the door is excited, whether they are a little bit scared, whether.
And then if you're first going to practice answering the door, we talked about using family members or people that, you know, I gently say are going to listen to you and say, okay, yeah. I'm training this. Can you just stand there?
Yep.
Because you'll notice again in classes, for those of the viewers that, you know, have taken classes with us, is that, you know, the first time we meet your dog, we're not like, ah, puppy. You know, we got to watch her sometimes. But the idea with that is we're trying to sort of be as calm as possible. And I would say, honestly, for all our instructors, we're not ones to go in and overly touch. I automatically greet with a hand target right away, and most owners don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
They're just not catching up on it. So again, it's just about, I think what we're trying to do with the jumping is saying to the owners that they need to assist the dog.
Mm-hmm.
In dealing with the situations, the best way to do that is to create a plan.
Yeah.
Because if you throw your hands up and you're like, I give up, can't do it, the dog's going to do it and everybody gets frustrated. And we don't want anybody to get hurt. So to me, it's a very important thing to mm-hmm. train. You know, when we talk about training classes, the majority of people come is for walking, recall, and jumping.
Yeah.
Right? So the idea is, again, it's about education. It's about embracing that your dog has a behavior that you would prefer to have a little bit tweaked.
Yeah.
But it's a natural behavior. So what can you do about it?
And I think it's important to really realize that it's a plan. It's not one single behavior. Because we always
get
asked.
Yeah, it is a chain.
How do I get my dog to not jump? And I'm like, what's not jump?
Yeah.
So it's a series of behaviors, because like the jumping is also a series of behavior. It's see the person, it's lock eyes on that person, it's, oh, I gotta see that person,
yeah.
Jump up on the person, lick the person, you know, and then they're in this like wild sort of overexcited state where they're not thinking.
Yeah.
So that is not the time to train. You want the plan. The plan is a series of behaviors, and then you sort of generalize it if you want your dog to greet people when you're out and about. So I know, like with having small dogs, like you said, with Bee and Tulip, people want to see them sometimes. So you can teach them that behavior, and you just say, stop. I like hand signals for people. Stop. Can you wait there? And put your hand like this. And because it's more clear, right? And people will just want to run up to the little dogs.
They do, and touch them and pick them up. And yeah, they're a little bit mortified.
Yeah.
But the idea too is we started a new class. I think it's only been 2 years, a greeting class.
Yeah.
And then as we got into the classes, and I'm like, okay, I'm not sure why we called it greeting, because it's approaching.
It's approaching. And
we start with approaching.
And not greeting.
Exactly. If the dogs cannot approach the door, the person, outside the dog, then there's definitely no greeting happening. And honestly, in the class, and they've come leaps and bounds, but we're not even really greeting till week 3, 4, or 5.
And I think that just sort of put an idea in my head of something that I say all the time in classes, is there's training opportunities and there's just get out of there.
Yeah, true.
So if it's not a training opportunity, if I'm grumpy, first of all, not a training opportunity.
No, because you're not right. You're not in the right headspace. You have no patience.
If my dog is already over threshold,
not a great training opportunity.
Not a great training opportunity.
Hence, always setting them up for success.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so we have to get better as owners at realizing this and not trying to make a stranger happy at the cost of our dog.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's true. Is, you know, we feel like we deal with a lot of clients and they just don't actually know how to say no or no thank you. And I don't think there should be that pressure.
No, I think we, like our dogs, it's just like children, right? Like if they're like, oh, I want to say hi, like no one would be weirded out if you said, oh, no, you know what, she's shy.
Yeah.
To a human child. But when it's a dog, they go, oh, dogs love me. And then they just want to
I think the expectation is for some people that they have to greet all dogs or their dog has to greet all people. And I think that expectation really needs to go away.
So to summarize for the jumping situation, we created a little plan that would work for your dog.
Yeah.
When you have multiple dogs, you may need multiple plans
because
not every dog
actually,
is going to be the same.
Yeah, and then it's all about training individually then together. So we're talking about training one dog. We're not talking about training five. And you know what? Maybe we need to do, I'll write that one down too, is multi-dog greeting.
Yeah, because so. I know when you come to Emery's house and there's five dogs, that's different than, you know, when you come to my house and there's two.
Yeah.
Because the management is going to be different and the personalities are different. Yeah. And so creating a plan that works for you, that works for your dog, that sets them up for success.
Being consistent inside and out.
Yes. Yeah. And making sure that everybody is sort of feeling good about the interaction. So we're not forcing it if the dog's shy. We're not forcing it if the person doesn't want to see your dog. Talking about like out and about, like not letting your dog sort of just jump on people and go visit them.
Yeah.
And just really sort of changing our expectations as to what a greeting should look like or if there should be a greeting at all.
Yeah. So you know why we're not saying it doesn't take work and practice.
It does.
Absolutely takes
lots of practice.
Work and practice. And like Amelia said, as far as sitting in the house outside, so it's not something you're only practicing inside, right?
But
you have to generalize it. So if you do have more issues about jumping in the house, well, maybe that's a good place to start.
Yeah.
But that's not to say you can't sort of take it on the road. But the thing is, you're teaching the same scenario with different distractions in different environments, and you're being consistent.
Consistency is key.
Yeah, which is really helpful, and that's the way the dog learn. And again, I always say, if you put the time into it, take the next few weeks to do it, the dog, we hope, lives 12, 14, 16 years, then you're smooth sailing.
Yeah. All right, thank you so much for tuning into this episode, and we look forward to seeing you next time. We're from the Dog Classroom. I'm Amelia.
I'm Anne-Marie.
Thanks for joining us, and you can find us on social media and our website at www.thedogclassroom.com.
I'm waiting for her to go through the list.
And social media on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok.
Spotify.
Yeah, wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.